Hare Krishna. Welcome back to our discussion on the Bhagavad Gita, verse by verse. 1.8. Bhavan Bhishmascha Karanascha Kripascha Samitim Jaya Ashwatthama Vikaranascha Saumadattisthathaivacha. Now here, Duryodhana started speaking about the forces on his side, and he faces a dilemma. By far the most powerful general on his side is Bhishma, and Bhishma is also the commander of his army, yet he is standing right now in front of Drona. So, while listing out his forces, should he mention them in a hierarchy with Bhishma first, as would be appropriate in normal situations, given Bhishma's seniority as well as expertise? But then, with Drona right in front of him, it might seem like a snub to Drona. So, he does some fast thinking on his feet, and he decides that Bhishma, being a Kshatriya, being not just a Kshatriya but a devout pious Kshatriya, gives esteem to Brahmanas. And Bhishma will understand that if I mention Drona's name first, that is not a statement of Drona's martial superiority, rather, it would be a statement made out of deference to Drona's higher position in the social hierarchy as a Brahmana. And so, he speaks about Drona first. Bhavan. Now, in Sanskrit, there are different words for referring to the second person. In English, there is you. But in Sanskrit, there is Tvam, which is a normal conversational second person reference, and Bhavan is a more respectful, tu or aap, as we have in Hindi. So Bhavan is more respectful. So he addresses Dronacharya in respectful tones. He doesn't want Drona to be agitated in any way, because he has just now been reminded about Drona by Duryodhana. So Bhavan, oh, who are the warriors on my side? Now, he's saying, I will inform you. Now, Drona doesn't have to be informed about his own military prowess. Who knows it better than himself? Drona knows it. He has taught all the great Kshatriyas, most of the great Kshatriyas who assembled there. So, he certainly is a powerful person. But when he has to list, he has to list in an inclusive way. So, he describes Bhavan. So, this is, although it's Sanyatam Tan Bravimite, although he's saying this, I am speaking this to inform you. But he knows that a public conversation is not just a conversation between the conversants. That when the two of them are speaking, there are others also hearing. And it should not appear to others that Drona is being snubbed. So, therefore, Bhavan, then immediately after, Bhishmascha. So I speak about you. You are there, and then Bhishma is there. Now, interestingly, the third person that he refers to is Karna. Now, in terms of prowess and appropriateness, that is okay, because it is Karna who becomes the third commander of the Kaurava army after the first two commanders fall. So Bhishma falls on the 10th day. He is the commander for the first 8 days. And then Drona falls on the 15th day. Then for 2 days, the 16th and the 17th, Karna is the commander. So he can very well be put third in the hierarchy of power, although some would put Ashwatthama as equally, if not more powerful. And Kripa is also, who's going to be mentioned next. Kripa is also very powerful. We'll come to that. But he mentions Karna, which is okay. But the significant point over here is, that Karna is not present in the battlefield. When the military forces on two sides were assessed by Bhishma just before the war, on the previous, on an earlier assembly in their tents, Duryodhana had asked Bhishma and Bhishma had obliged. At that time, Karna had boasted that he could destroy the entire Pandava army in just a short time, just a matter of days, few days. Whereas Bhishma, Drona, they had said that it will take us about a month or so. Karna said, I can do it in a very short while, just a matter of days. And then Bhishma had scoffed at him and he said, oh, son of a Suta, your strength is only in your words. And if words could make things come true, then indeed Duryodhana would be assured of success. But your words have never been translated into actions. Indeed, every time you have fought against Partha, you have been bested. And now that you have lost your Kavach and Kundal, so I consider that you are by no means equal to Partha. Leave alone. You are never superior to him, but you have become even weaker. And Bhishma rates him very low. Now, Bhishma has no agenda or malevolence against Karna, but Bhishma is displeased to see Karna's inflated opinion of himself, and more, he is disturbed that Duryodhana is continuing his antagonism towards the Pandavas based on his faith in Karna's abilities. And because Karna's abilities are not as much as they wanted to be, Duryodhana's faith is going to be shattered. And he feels in that sense, Karna's boasting and Duryodhana's foolish believing in Karna's boasting is one of the main causes for the escalation of hostilities between the two parties. You know, if Karna had not boasted his abilities, Duryodhana may well have settled for a peace pact. So that's why, in order to try to keep the hostilities as low as possible, although of course now the war is going to take place, but in order to not let either Karna or Drona or Duryodhana's head get bloated with overconfidence, Bhishma downsizes Karna. He says that your abilities are nowhere even a match of a fraction of Partha. And Karna becomes so angry on hearing this that he says that as long as Bhishma is the commander, I will not fight in this war. Because he says when a war is fought, no matter which warriors contribute how much in winning the war, history will record the commander as the one who won the war. Just like there is a cricket match, there may be a special player who performs very well, but then it is remembered that this was under the captaincy of this team that the team won the World Cup under the captaincy of this person. And the captain is immortalized that way. So he said that because Bhishma has discredited me, so therefore I do not want to contribute to the credit of Bhishma. If I fight under him, with him as the commander, and I win the war for Duryodhana, then Bhishma will get the credit. And because he has discredited me, therefore I will not give him credit. Therefore I will not fight as long as Bhishma is the commander. And saying this, Karna walks away in a huff. Now Duryodhana is bemused and befuddled at this, but he does a quick mental calculation. He does not have any doubt about Karna's loyalty, although he can understand Karna's hurt pride. So he knows that he doesn't want Karna to be off the battlefield even for one moment. But still he knows that Karna will not desert him anytime in terms of switching loyalties to the Pandavas. So Karna will wait in the wings and come later when the time becomes appropriate. But he thinks that if I choose Karna now and I say that I want Karna, and then if Bhishma leaves, then Bhishma already has affection for the Pandavas. So he may well go over to the side of the Pandavas and I will lose him completely and I'll have to fight against him. Therefore, although he has far more affection for Karna and although he has much more trust in Karna's antipathy, Karna's hatred, anger towards the Pandavas, which he knows that Bhishma does not have any anger or antipathy towards the Pandavas, but still he sticks to Bhishma and lets Karna go temporarily. But still he also, so Karna is not there in the battlefield because of the circumstance is happening. But still, because Duryodhana and Karna had such a close friendship, and because Duryodhana had fought the war with the confidence, not just the hope, the confidence that Karna will kill Partha, so Karna was never far from the mind of Bhishma, of Duryodhana, and that's why Karna speaks over Bhishma speaks. Sorry, Duryodhana speaks mentioning Karna's name, Karnascha. He's not in the battlefield, he's in the tent in the background, but he's there in the mind. And therefore, while counting, he mentions, oh, he's also a formidable commander in our army. Not there temper presently, but he's here in our side. Bhavan Bhishmascha Karnascha Kripascha Samitim Jayah. And then he mentions Kripacharya Samitim Jayah, who's always victorious. Now, Kripacharya had been given a blessing similar to that of Bhishma, that he was almost invincible. He could not be killed. And when Yudhishthira had gone before the war to ask the Kuru elders for their blessings and to ask them also that because they are so invincible, how could they be felled? So at that time, Kripa had enigmatically replied that I cannot be killed. Knowing this of Yudhishthira, go forth and attain victory. Now, what does that mean? Actually, yes, don't waste your time. You will not be, if you attack me and try to kill me, you will not succeed. But it was also widely known that Kripacharya did not have any celestial weapons. So, although he could not be killed, he would not himself have any major power to cause some huge damage to the Pandava army. And he would not, in that sense, although he could not be killed, he would not stand in the path of the victory of the Pandavas if they fought carefully. So that's why he made this enigmatic statement. I cannot be killed. Go ahead and win the war now. Samitim Jayaha. It can just be a general honorific, any of which are used whenever one is referring to Kshatriyas. Or it can refer to the point that he is victorious over mortality in the sense that he will not be killed in war. And then Ashwatthama Vikarnascha Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama was also a formidable warrior. He was the son of Drona, and Drona had trained his son in practically all the tricks and tactics of warfare. And he had given him also several special weapons, Narayanastra, the Brahmastra, the Agniastra. And Ashwatthama fought fiercely during the battle. And he felled many powerful Pandava generals. And it was he who tried to avoid, who tried to avenge Drona's death by sending formidable weapons like the Narayanastra on the Pandavas. And the Pandavas had to actually seeing that enormously and irresistibly forceful assault of the divine weapon of Lord Narayan, the Narayanastra. The Pandavas had to just raise their hands and bow to the Astra and then just bow down, lie down on the ground. And the Astra had such a nature that if anyone opposed it, the force of that Astra would become double. And therefore, no matter how strong a person, how strong a force is used to counter the Astra, still the Astra would remain more powerful. And in that way, a person's screen could be actually rolled back. So, that means that the person who was fighting, there was just no hope for them to win. Because even if the person has a shield or whatever, the shield is used, screen or shield, whatever, is used to resist the weapon. Actually, the weapon becomes stronger, double strong. And in that way, it will eventually lead to the destruction of any defendant. The only way to avoid that, the recommended way for this, was to actually bow down. And that's what Krishna told the Pandavas to do. And let the weapon pass away overhead without hurting anyone. So, Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama was, of course, punished towards the end of the Vanaparva when he was arrested and cuffed and incarcerated. Till he was not exactly handcuffed in the normal sense. His hands and ropes were tied with ropes and he was dragged to the Yudhishthira who wanted to forgive him, but at the behest of Krishna, Arjuna decided to cut off his jewel and his top hair on the head, and then thus Ashwatthama was devoid of his power and his mysticism, and then he departed to wander in the forest for thousands of years as a curse. He did not decide, he was sentenced to do that. Now interestingly, the next name that he mentions is Vikarnascha. Now Vikarna is one of the brothers of Duryodhana. It's interesting that Duryodhana doesn't mention the brother who was closest to him, that is Dushyasana. And the brother Dushyasana also exhibited several short spells of heroism in the Mahabharata war, much more than Vikarna. But again, this is a game of establishing connections, preserving reputations, and ensuring commitments. So Duryodhana does not have any reason to doubt the commitment of Dushyasana to himself, but he has a reason to doubt Vikarna's commitment, because Vikarna was the only person, not just the only Kaurava, but the only person among the younger people who had opposed Draupadi's disrobing. So he suspected Vikarna's faithfulness to him. And therefore, by speaking about him, mentioning his name, in the same league as the foremost warriors among the Kauravas, Duryodhana hoped to seal Vikarna's commitment. Oh, Duryodhana esteems me as highly as Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Karna. Oh, then I will fight for him. Like that. He hoped to induce that kind of feeling within him. Saumadatta. Now, as Saumadatta was a powerful king, and Saumadatta refers to his son. So, Saumadatta, Bhurishrava. So, he was a formidable Maharatha warrior, and he actually defeated Satyaki on the 14th day, and he was about to kill Satyaki. At that time, Arjuna shot him and cut off his hand, and eventually, Bhurishrava entered into a mystic trance while sitting on a bed of arrows and departed. And both Krishna and Arjuna blessed him to attain the destinations of everlasting bliss. So because of family affiliations, he had to fight on the side of the Kauravas. And again, Duryodhana mentions him because he is a formidable warrior. And then Thaivacha. Now sometimes, the scriptures don't always have the same recensions. Recension means the way certain words are written, some small variations might be there. So sometimes this tathaiva is replaced with sandhaiva. Sindhaiva cha. So sindhaiva would refer to sign, that would refer to saindhava, we could say. It refers to the king of Sindhu, that is Jayadrath. So Jayadrath's name doesn't come anywhere in the first chapter, not now or not even later. It only comes once in the 11th chapter, when Krishna says that Jayadrath will also be killed. So Arjuna can rest assured and fight. But this could be a hidden reference to Jayadrath. But either way, tatha eva cha. Certainly, cha can also refer to others. So this is
This is not an exhaustive list. This is a representative or an indicative list. And by giving a list like this, he wants to reassure his own forces that, don't worry, it's not that they alone have big commanders. We also have big commanders. So that is the reassurance for the Jadal forces. And for his commanders, he wants to make sure that he shows them that I value all of you. And for those who are not named, he will refer to them in a general sense in the next verse. So let's discuss that in our next talk. Thank you. Hare Krishna.